A Norwegian night for the ages in the UEFA Champions League as Bodo Glimt complete a stunning victory over Inter to reach the last 16. Elsewhere, their compatriot Alexander Sørloth scores a hat-trick as Atletico seal off Club Brugge. Newcastle and Leverkusen also seal a spot in the next round. So many stories on a historic night. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, and we now know 12 of the clubs through to the round of 16 to confirm the four results on Tuesday. It finished at Stadio San Siro, Inter 1, Bodo Glimt 2, Bodo Glimt going through 5-2 on aggregate. Atletico 4, Club Brugge 1, Diego Simeone's side through on aggregates. Newcastle 3, Karabag 2, Newcastle through 9-3 on aggregates. And Leverkusen 0, Olympiakos 0, the team from Germany through 2-0 on aggregates. European football expert Kevin Hatchard is alongside me, as well as commentator Joe Shannon. Bodo Glimt players, as we record this, have just left the pitch at Stadio San Siro after a great celebration with their supporters and with their coaching staff. Thoughts on an immense night for them and ultimately for their country as well.
Over the two legs, Bodo Glimt with a better team against a side that is 10 points clear at the top of Serie A. This is a phenomenal achievement from them, it really is.
Incredible night, incredible performance and result, brought about, I think, by the bravery and courage of Bodo Glimt. They didn't just win it edgily, they won it with a bit of style, and the second goal that they scored on the night, one of the best in the competition so far this season.
And it completes this amazing set of results. And they're not done yet, as both of you alluded to in the commentary. But Joe, just go through what they've done since their league finished at the end of
November. 2-2 away at Dortmund, 3-1 victory at home to Manchester City. They knew they had to win that. Then they went and won 2-1 in Madrid away at Diego Simeone's Atletico. That sent them through out of the league phase and into the knockout round playoffs. And then they beat Inter over two legs, 3-1 in the Arctic Circle in leg one. And then I think the greatest triumph of all, coming to Milan, coming to San Siro and winning by 2-1 to see it a 5-2 aggregate victory. It's a litany of incredible result after incredible result.
Certainly is. Extraordinary stuff. Let's get into it. Bodo Glimt then with that 3-1 lead ahead of the second leg at San Siro. Joe and Kevin watch this game for Match Day Live.
Oh, give it away! Through the middle is Blomberg! Saved by Sommer, but the rebound is in! Jens Petter Hauge with that historic goal on a momentous night for Bodo Glimt. Hauge's early ball, Evjen arriving and scoring! Can you believe it? 2-0 to Bodo Glimt on the night. It's magic in Milan for Bodo Glimt.
I tell you right now, Joe, that is a world-class goal.
Another one from DiMarco to the near post, and the header is turned in. No, Bastoni at the back post. Oh, I think the goal has been given. Bastoni left-footed, turned the ball towards goal, and the goalkeeper, Hajkin, couldn't keep it out, and the referees confirmed that Inter have got one back. Bastoni the scorer, and beneath the floodlights of one of football's most famous venues, Bodo Glimt are through to the round of 16. From the Arctic Circle to Atletico Madrid to Manchester City and now to Inter, they have overcome every obstacle on their way, and this in Milan is a night that they will never forget.
Well, every season the UEFA Champions League delivers in terms of storylines and drama, but every so often something really special happens with a club defying expectations making it through to the latter stages, and it's Bodo Glimt's name in 2026. Rosenborg reached the quarterfinals in the mid-1990s, another famous Norwegian story, but they advanced directly from the group stage that year. They didn't win a knockout phase match. So tonight we did see footballing history in this competition. And Joe, we heard there in your voice, it wasn't surprise when they scored, having soaked up the pressure in the first half. It was just another great moment, and the quality of the goals they scored again is noteworthy for sure.
Absolutely. I think also the reaction to not only the goals that they've scored, but the tie itself. They enjoyed this tonight, did Bodo Glimt. They enjoyed the first leg, they enjoyed the second leg. They're loving every minute of this journey. You see them before the game, waving to their families in the crowd. And the quality of that second goal, Evjen running onto it, firing across Jan Sommer into the bottom corner, was just the icing on the cake for them, I think.
They played and play like they have nothing to lose. And that doesn't mean they don't take it seriously. What it means is they've managed to find this mindset where they can pull the enjoyment and the positivity out of a run like this. Because with a lot of teams, what you tend to find is they'll get to a certain point in a run, or whether it's a cup, or, you know, if they're at the top of the league and not expected to, and then reality kicks in and you start thinking about, what if we don't do it? What if we do lose? What happens then? I didn't see that for a microsecond in this tie. They just kept on playing, and they accept the opposition will get chances. And Inter did have chances and did a lot of things right over the two legs, but couldn't find that finishing touch. But it just isn't underdog football as we know it. It is personality driven, it is technique driven. There's not a player in that team that hasn't got an immaculate first touch. Like the quality of coaching from Chetil Knutsen is really, really high. This is a proper team that's going to take some stopping.
2016, they were relegated out of the Norwegian top flight. A year away, have come back and, of course, have made club history by winning the title in Norway. European history in the Conference League and in the Europa League. But if anybody questioned whether they could do it in the Champions League, the answer has been spectacularly dispelled over the last 2 months or so, as we mentioned, Kevin.
They didn't win their league.
No, they didn't.
How good must Viking be?
Which is another amazing story, by the way.
So, I mean, that is what is really extraordinary. But the other thing that is amazing about them, and we talked about it in commentary a little bit, there is a sense of magic, because you have several players in that team that played. Evjen went to the Netherlands, didn't really work out for him. Bjørkan went to Hertha, at no stage was their first choice left back. Hauge went to Milan, went to Frankfurt, didn't quite happen for him either. And Patrick Berg, who is one of the key players in that team, he knits everything together in midfield. He went to France, played for Lens, again it didn't really happen. But they've all come back. And they didn't go elsewhere in Europe, they went, we'll go back because that's where we can play our best football.
Can I add another, because I think it's a very good point. Nikita Hykin, who had a very short spell in the English second tier and didn't play, went back though, and you sense that everybody enjoys playing as part of this group at Bodo Glimt. They know, Joe, that they are making history week after week, month after month, year after year at the moment, and they're not going to believe that it's round of 16 and over the way they're playing. They won't be scared of anybody.
Played like a team, played like a great unit tonight, didn't they? Particularly well coached, I thought, by Knutsen over the course of the two legs. Albeit not just that, it's been recent results in the UEFA Champions League. Even when they weren't winning games and they were edged out narrowly, or they picked up points, whether it be at home or on the road, you felt that there was something potentially special about this team. And Hykin in many ways typifies it. I thought he played with a lot of command, a lot of personality throughout the course of that second leg. I mean, how daunting must it have been for a goalkeeper going to a venue like San Siro, playing a team like Inter? Kev was saying in commentary, probably the biggest game of his life, probably the biggest game in the careers of just about every player involved tonight. But it certainly didn't show. Not for a second did they look like they were feeling the weight of pressure or expectation. And in fact, actually, I thought as the game went on, they got more courageous, they got braver in terms of their approach. And it's testament to their attacking qualities and their technical ability that they won this tie 5-2 on aggregate.
Be fascinated to see what Knutsen says about that first half, because I don't think he was happy. It felt like they were dropping a bit deeper, they weren't really brave on the ball like they usually are, but they saw it through and Inter didn't get the goals. And second half was much more like them and much more the kind of personality they play with.
So congratulations once again to Bodo Glimt, who will play now either Sporting or Manchester City in the next stage, the round of 16, which is only a couple of weeks away. Next, let's head to Spain. It was all square between Atletico and Club Brugge after the first leg. It finished 3-3 6 days ago, an amazing first leg. Here is how the second leg of this tie unfolded, described by Jonathan Pearce.
Sorlot got the shot away, and in. He was determined, set it going, and it's in. Ordóñez back on the pitch, hence Brugge back level. 1-1 on the night, 4-4 on aggregate. This tie could go anyway. Partially cleared, hit very, very well. Excellent goal by Cardoso, really good strike. Atleti have the lead again. Lookman to Griezmann, takes the return, trying to cut it back to Sorloth, makes it 3-1. Griezmann plays short, comes Ruggeri, and Sorloth has a hat-trick. What a night for him. Atleti are heading through to play Liverpool or Spurs.
Yeah, as you heard, tie very much in the balance at half-time when it was level 3 unanswered. Second half goals good enough for Diego Simeone and his team. Alexander Sorlot, the first Atleti player to score a hat-trick in a UEFA Champions League knockout match, given how close they've come to winning this competition for the first time in their history since Simeone went there, Kevin. Some of the forwards who have graced the famous red and white, that is some stat, and a very, very impressive performance from Sorlot, but also from Atleti.
And a former Bodø/Glimt player, is he not?
He
Sorlot,
is.
So that he's got the Bodø/Glimt magic. Look, I think I admire him, actually, because he's had spells in his career where he's scored goals regularly. He's had spells in his career where it hasn't quite worked out for him. But he's always persevered, and he's always believed that he can perform at this level. He's been the winner of the Pichichi, the top scorer trophy in La Liga. He did that when he was at Villarreal. He is somebody that when he's on a hot streak is really difficult to handle. And we think about that Norway team that's going to grace the World Cup, and we might talk about Haaland, we might talk about Ødegaard. He's going to be right up there as part of that attack, and he is really difficult to deal with. Something has flicked a switch at Atleti in terms of their attack, because they scored 4 goals without reply against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey tie recently. They beat Espanyol 4-2 at the weekend, and Sorlot looked really good. And over the two legs here, they've scored 7 against a good Club Brugge team. They've got lots of attacking weapons. Lookman, Alvarez, Griezmann, Sorlot. They're going to be tough to stop.
They certainly are. Let's hear from their Norwegian centre-forward now. Unsurprisingly, the UEFA player of the match.
Well, I feel really good because we won the game. It was a knockout stage game. We want to continue to play in this tournament. So that's the most important. And then, of course, to get the man of the match is an honour. It gives a lot of confidence to continue to playing like this and, yeah, to stay hungry. We have to take this confidence we get from this type of games and to build on it, and then of course be more stable defensively, not letting chances against offensively. At the moment we are scoring a lot of goals, we just have to continue and we have to stay hungry.
You can imagine Diego Simeone saying exactly that actually in the dressing room after this result. The draw for the round of 16 takes place this Friday, the 27th of February. Follow it on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. Atleti will face either Liverpool or Tottenham. And they are a side that no one is going to want to run into in the next stage. Still to come, we'll take a look back on tonight's other matches and look ahead to a huge Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League.
Listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.
Next to Newcastle, who beat Karabag by 3-2, winning 9-3 on aggregate. Kevin, they were 6-1 up after an amazing first leg in Baku. If you wondered how Eddie Howe was going to try and play it, well yes, he did leave some of his stars on the bench, but he started Burn, Botman, Trippier, Tonali, Joe Linton, Voltimada, Barnes, and he was rewarded really 2-0 up within the first 6 minutes and ultimately tied down at that stage.
Yeah, it was a statement of intent. It would have been easy to rotate a bit more than that, given the packed schedule that they have, given the fact that they've got a lot of ground to make up to qualify for next season's Champions League. But I do like the way that Eddie Howe's talking about this tournament. He's saying, I want my players to dream about winning it. I think we can compete. And given the home form they've shown, actually, in this competition, that is a tough place to go. What I was so impressed with was last week, to go to Baku and play with that kind of hunger, that kind of quality, that kind of physicality, they really caught Karabakh out. And, you know, Karabakh have had some incredible results in this tournament, so to beat them by that margin over the two legs is really quite something.
This Newcastle's maiden voyage in the Champions League knockout phase, that they almost finished in the top eight and therefore would have gone straight through to the round of 16. Joe, I know you commentate on the English Premier League every weekend. They are loving this adventure, and as Kevin said, next up is Barcelona or Chelsea. They'll definitely be looking forward to that in that part of the northeast.
Well, I have to say, it's one of the best supporter bases in English football. They're one of the most popular, most followed clubs, Newcastle United. And St James's Park on a European night when it gets rocking is tough to beat for atmosphere at the best of times. And, you know, Newcastle are maybe not where they want to be in the context of the Premier League, but they ended their trophy drought last season by winning the League Cup. So that was dealt with. The psychological pressure of winning a trophy was dealt with. They're well positioned in the FA Cup at the moment in England. Why not fancy a run at the Champions League going into the latter stages? Because whoever they end up playing, whether it be Barcelona or Chelsea, the greater pressure will be on one of those two teams. No question about it, given the pedigree that both those clubs have got in the Champions League. But Newcastle will feel at home they can beat anybody. And their away form has really picked up of late as well. I think it's 3 or 4 wins on the spin away from home. So, yeah, I think Eddie Howe's team, with the attacking quality they've got, the players that they've got throughout the side, will feel that over two legs, they can potentially beat anybody.
Had a couple of classic Champions League fixtures in the 90s, I think, under Sir Bobby Robson against Barcelona. If it were to be Barcelona, it might be Chelsea. Newcastle, one of 6 English Premier League teams in the last 16 of this season's competition, and we can hear from their camp now in a moment, the UEFA player of the match, Sandro Tonali. But first, his teammate Jacob Murphy.
It was a job done. We had to come in today with professional head. Obviously you can see that the tie wasn't done until it was all over. So yeah, we made hard work of it at times, but we got off to a flying start, and I think the damage was done there.
We're training a lot for this. The last season we work very tough every day, every weekend for play Champions League this season with the Sevev.
Yeah, you can hear the delight in Sandro Tonali's voice there. Newcastle heading through to the last 16. And very quickly, Kev, on Karabag, because they ended up losing the game 3-2. They almost fought back with a late equaliser. And they have had this historic run themselves to get to this stage. A huge achievement to finish in one of those top 24 spots in the league phase.
Yeah, so pleased for them, because Hurban Hurbanov's been the coach for a long, long time now, in charge since 2008. And they've been, like Bodø in a way, actually, they've been building up to this for a while. You know, they didn't come in as European novices. They'd had lots of experience in the Europa League, and they've been building up to this. And you look at some of the performances, I mean, they set the tone straight away, really. 2-0 down at Benfica, came back to win 3-2. It's an extraordinary result. Then they beat Copenhagen in the very next game. They were able to beat Eintracht Frankfurt in a topsy-turvy game. They were able to hold Chelsea. So when people remember Karabakh in this tournament, look at the earlier results. For Azerbaijan football, for Karabakh as a club, this was an incredible achievement. And I think, actually, the change of format, the league phase, look at nations having an impact in this competition that haven't done for a long time or haven't at all. You know, Azerbaijan, Norway, these are clubs we're talking about, and they are competing, not just making up the numbers. They are beating teams and they are competing and getting through to big ties. So well done to them.
They certainly are. So Newcastle ultimately through against Karabakh. And the final match to review on this this Tuesday in the Champions League. Leverkusen 0, Olympiakos 0 on the night in Germany. So Patrick Schick's goals in Piraeus last week enough to put them through. Ernest Boku did hit the bar for the German Bundesliga team. And Kevin, that's a big success for Leverkusen to be back in the last 16.
It's really important. It's something they targeted. It was a difficult tie because they'd only just lost in Piraeus in the league phase. So to then go there again in the knockouts and win was really impressive. And Patrick Schick, the first player since Michael Ballack 24 years ago to score a couple of goals in a knockout tie in the Champions League for Bayer Leverkusen.
And 24, that makes me feel extremely old.
Oh, well, when you were talking about Newcastle against Barcelona, that aged me horribly. But look, Leverkusen, they've still got a fight on their hands to qualify for this next season. They know that. It's not going to be easy in Germany. They've got a lot of players that came in at the same time because Wirtz went, Tah went, Xhaka went, Frimpong went, all in the same summer. So then, and then they changed their coach three games in. So Kasper Juhlmann's got in there, he's tried to knit the thing together, and they are making forward strides. So to get to this stage, I think it's a big confidence boost.
Well, we can hear from the UEFA player of the match from this game, Alejandro Grimaldo, who has been reflecting on the match, the tie, and going through.
It was tough for us. We didn't do in our best, but we have to keep going to go to the next round to improve, to try to win against Arsenal or Bayern.
Well, next up for Leverkusen, either Arsenal or Bayern. They'll find out on Friday at the draw. A reminder that the Champions League continues on Wednesday and UEFA Champions League Matchday Live is back on air 8:45 Central European time. And what a tie to look forward to. Commentary match of Juventus against Galatasaray. The team from Turkey 5-2 up after a thrilling win in Istanbul last week. Let's hear from both teams now ahead of this one. In a moment, Galatasaray's Victor Osimhen. But first, the Juventus defender Lloyd Kelly on how the home fans will help his team tomorrow night.
When we play in front of these fans, it always gives us extra belief and confidence going into any game we play. But I think first and foremost, it's down to us as the players to bring that. We know where the position we're in, and we can't shy away from that. We understand it's a big task, but we have to be ready for that.
I and the boys have one thing in our mind. We are not going to the game tomorrow feeling like we've won 5-2 in the first leg. And I think Juventus is the kind of team that are rich in history when it comes to games like this, when it comes to comebacks like this. And I think their current coach is one of the best, according to me and some other people. He knows how to turn some kind of games around, and they have a lot of quality players. So we are not going to underrate them or look down on them. I think for us, we are approaching the game same way we did in Rams Park. So I think in front of their fans, it's going to be a very long 90 minutes. But I think we've got a lot of experienced players that have overcome this type of circumstances. So it's going to be really tough. They're going to come all out. And I think we're going to be ready for them. I think one thing in mind is that we're not going to stay back and let them play. We also want to come out to press them just like we've done in the first leg. Of course, the game is not going to be easy. But I think considering the results in the first leg, we have an edge. But this, we don't get carried away by this, just like the coach have said, that we come with a strong desire, but I think we're ready for them.
Victor Osimhen, you heard him speaking about Luciano Spalletti. Of course, they won the Italian title together with Napoli, so it's a nice little subplot ahead of the second leg.
Yeah, and he will know that Spalletti's capable of knitting together a team that needs a lot of goals and that can produce the kind of attacking display they're going to require. I think this tie is still alive, I have to say. I think Juventus, with the players they have in forward areas, are capable of making a good start. If they get an early goal, He just puts Galatasaray under that kind of pressure. I think it's going to be full of goals. I think it's going to be fascinating this tie still.
Atmosphere will be rocking in Turin, Joe. We saw tonight at San Siro a team coming away from home with a lead against an Italian side looking to come back. Inter couldn't do it. They're great rivals. Juventus will hope the outcome is different. But you saw that it's kind of tough for both coaches to know exactly how to play this. Galatasaray with a 3-goal lead. Looks healthy, but football can change in a matter of moments.
Well, we've seen it happen too many times, haven't we? I agree with Kev. I don't think the tie is over yet by any means. And in fact, it's set up rather like our commentary game tonight. There's plenty of jeopardy. And actually, when you look back on this evening, Inter, in the first half in particular, did a lot of good things. And had they managed to take any one of the chances that came their way, they had a couple cleared off the line. The goalkeeper makes a good save. If Inter get the first goal, then it's a very different game and potentially a very different complexion to the tie itself. And I think that is going to be the key. You know, Juve have got to score at least three. I think the first goal is absolutely vital. If Galatasaray get the opener, then you feel they may well end up running away with it. But if Juventus, with the crowd behind them, take an early lead, then it's all to play for.
The one thing Juve have to do, and this is going to sound obvious because they conceded 5 goals in the first leg, but they have to defend better one-on-one. The problem they really ran into, and this is where the red card comes from, is just dealing with Barry Salpa-Yilmaz out wide. They have a lot of threats in wide areas, Galatasaray. And Lloyd Kelly, who we heard from, really struggled to deal with Osimhen. He's not the first. He won't be the last to struggle to deal with Osimhen. So that's what they've got to try and improve. Easier said than done. They've got to find a way of neutralising the wide threat and stopping the ball getting to Osimhen in the first place. If they can lock that down, I do think they've got the attacking quality to get back into the tie.
It's going to be some listen on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Elsewhere, Atalanta 2-0 down at home to Borussia Dortmund ahead of the second leg of that tie. Their head coach, Raffaele Palladino, has been speaking about the home crowd in Bergamo, saying his team need to be sharp and make the most of the fact that they've got 20,000 fans behind them. Real Madrid 1-0 up at home to Benfica, thanks to Vinicius Junior's spectacular goal in Lisbon last week. And finally, Paris Saint-Germain against Monaco, the defending champions, 3-2 up. First leg was brilliant. Monaco raced into a 2-goal lead. Ousmane Dembélé went off injured, but Paris really clicked through the gears to come back. But this tie is pretty delicately poised still.
Yeah, it is. Desiré Doué was absolutely outstanding in that first leg last week. Was involved in all three Paris goals. But I think Monaco will be able to take solace from the way they started the game. And what they should also take solace from is the way that they played away to Lens at the weekend, because Lens had been top. They were 2-0 down, found a way to get back to 3-2 and win the game, scored 3 goals in quick succession. Following Balogun's playing really well in attack. They've got plenty of attacking players. Ansu Fati's playing well as well. So it's not over. Paris, even when they're in a tricky situation, they have so many game changers who can just alter a tie. So Paris still the firm favourites, but Monaco absolutely not out of it.
Goals as they go in from the Parc des Princes tomorrow night, and the Bernabeu as well. Our commentary game is that cracker between Juventus and Galatasaray. Let's finish though and move back to Bodo Glimt and Jens Petter Hauge. He was the UEFA player of the match after their remarkable win over Inter, and we can hear from him now.
We knew it's going to be extremely tough today, but the clock was running in our way, so we knew that the longer we could keep the score 0-0, the space would open, we could really punish them on counter, and yeah, we did that. We are there, we are among the last team in this competition, so it will be really exciting to see what the next two games bring. It's really, really, I'm so proud of the group, the trainers, the medical staff. We are all in this together, and we believe so much in our project, and to get the results we have done now, it's hats off.
You can hear the pride in his voice, and he might feel like that. Gents, moments of the night. It can be from the game at San Siro or anywhere else across the continent.
The Evian second goal, I think it has to be for me, sums up everything that is good about Bodo Glimt: the bravery, the courage, the quality, the celebrations, and then I think just that little bit of breathing space that it gave them. I think at that point, the moment the ball hits the back of the net, they knew deep down they were going into the round of 16, and it'll go down as, I think, the moment of the night for them and their supporters.
Same game, but different moment, and just how magnanimous Christian Kivu was, because he came up to Kjetil Knudsen, his opposite number, and even though he's desperately disappointed to go out of the Champions League, he said, well done. They spoke for a good 2 minutes, really friendly, you know, felt like a genuine over the two legs, you guys were great, well done, hope you do well. So it was lovely to see. That was a super piece of fair play, I thought.
A huge amount of respect on show, that in right in the middle of the cauldron of what had happened in front of them, and Bodo Glimt's prize, either Sporting or Manchester City in the round of 16. Kev, Joe, thank you very much. So four more clubs are through to the next stage. Bodo Glimt, Atletico, Newcastle and Leverkusen joining Arsenal, Bayern, Liverpool, Tottenham, Barcelona, Chelsea, Sporting and Manchester City, who secured direct qualification through to the round of 16. A reminder, on Wednesday night, the picture will be completed with a final four knockout phase second legs. Matchday Live will bring you live commentary of Juventus against Galatasaray, the Bianconeri looking to overcome a 3-goal deficit in this tie, plus the goals as they go in from the other evening's late games. We're on air from 20:45 Central European Time. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.